the pasture, put them in the pen, work them on the Sundays, do it all again. Race them in the sand, buck them in the mud, drip a cowboy's sweat, bleed a cowboy's blood.
I'm Zeke Thurston, 2016 World Champion Saddlebrock Rider, and you're watching the Peppert Stewart Show.
Why? Why are you watching? What is going on in your day? You're like, you know what? I'm going to get my eyes burnt and turn this on and see what they're talking about. But you did. So you have tuned in again for another action-packed episode of Nonsense. Today's show, we got some folks in here. We got some folks on the Zoomer. It is 2021. Technical stuff happens, so you can do that. We got some trailers coming out for a couple of new movies you want to see. Those Wish Me Dead by Taylor Sheridan, who does Yellowstone. You also got The Wrath of Men by Guy Ritchie. We got a couple of trailers we're going to show you. Today, if you're not on the podcast, or those of you podcast types, there's a podcast out there that I listen to every now and again. I don't know why I do. But anyway, The Dutton Report. Go listen to those guys. The Dutton Report. It's a podcast. Those guys, they watch Yellowstone. They're Yellowstone fans, and they watch it, and then they talk about it afterwards, and it's fairly entertaining, I'd say. So check them out, The Dutton Report. We're going to talk to Barry. Barry's part of that deal, so we're going to talk to him. I don't know if he's got Will with him, but we're going to get Barry on here, talk to him a little bit. Western authors. We may have another Western author on here to tell us about books that you want to read. He's got a book out called Chet Henderson, Texas Ranger. So you might want to check that out. We got some rodeo news coming up for you. We got some WCRA. They introduced their next big deal. We're going to tell you about it. The PBR just happened. Somebody won. We're going to tell you who that was and what they did. We're going to show you a video of that. Cow stuff, TSCRA, Texas Southwest Cattle Raiders Association. They have opened up their internship. We're going to tell you how to do that. And odd news, everyone's favorite, the odd news. You know, you always stay tuned for that because you never know what's going to happen. You might get a snake in your salad. You might get swallowed by a snake. You might set a Guinness Book of World Records. No one knows. But then I'll tell you this. There's some stories. I hope we can make it this far to get to these Old West stories. Some Old West stories that they're true from the old days. They don't seem true. They're like, what? Is that Twilight Zone that I'm watching? But that's it. So check that out. And then are you a golfer? Are you playing golf? Do you go out into the green and, you know, you go find a few holes, you grab your wood and see how far you can hit the ball? Well, there's not wood anymore. Nobody uses wood. They're using graphite. They're using new technology. And with that new technology, Callaway has got something for you to see. So check this out. And when we come back, we're going to talk about stuff. Swing it. If you're not golfing, that's what people say, golfing. There's a lot of golfing going on. Everywhere a lot of the rodeo committees have golfing tournaments where they go out and golf and stuff. So get you a golf club. Go swing it. Callaway golf clubs. Speaking of Callaway, the new set of Callaway golf clubs that I just unwrapped today. I'm going to have to go try those out. But anyway, coming here all the way from the other side of the world, Colt is here, sitting in. He's going to hang out with us maybe a time or two or even more than that. So, Colt, what's going on?
Nothing much. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. You know, I mean, it's awesome. They said the other side of the world, it felt like that coming over from Fort Worth. So that traffic can get pretty nasty.
So tell the folks about Colt.
So I'm a man of many different talents. You know, jack of all trades, master of none. I've served in the military, so I have that going for me, or not going for me, depending on how you want to look at it. I've done a whole bunch of different stuff. I rode bulls, actually, for the Air Force Academy. When I was there, I was also enlisted for a couple of years. Let's see, after that, got out, tried to go to college, I do IT stuff now. I've become a computer nerd and sit behind a desk all the time. So that's what I do. I'm also sit on the board for Warriors and Rodeo, a nonprofit that, you know, me and you've had quite a few conversations about. And so I have wife, three kids, got a newborn baby boy. So that's really exciting. But thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It's good to be here.
It is. Now, you mentioned kids.
Sadly, yes.
But they're young.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The oldest is only 7.
Okay, that's great. Because when they get to 10, nobody tells you. For one, nobody. When you have kids, nobody tells you, don't plan on sleeping for a while. Nobody tells you that. Nobody tells you the amount of money you're going to spend on diapers.
That's true. That actually surprised me. For having my first one, I was like, you know, this won't be too bad. And then it just, and the thing is, it's not that bad the one time. You know, $20 here, $30 there. But after 2 years,
you're like, come on, can you go to the litter box or something? You
know? Go outside, have the dog teach them how to do something.
You got to. It's rough. Then they get older. So as long as you can keep them young, that's fine. Because mine's too old now, so They get old, they start driving, and then they just start doing crazy stuff. Then you're getting calls in the middle of the night, maybe 1, 2 in the morning, or, they, you know, he had, what was a couple years ago, had a wreck, nearly killed himself. I don't know why he didn't die. I mean, he put his head through the windshield of his truck with no seatbelt.
Jeez.
And walked away with nothing but, he had a little brain injury, you know, swelling, whatever, but that was it.
Wow.
And, you know, when the kids get to going, and they just... they do crazy stuff. Sometimes they make it on the internet. Sometimes they don't. You don't want to Google that, by the way.
Well, I know my sister. I know growing up, I had a brother and a sister. But I know I give my parents heart attacks all the time. I played sports, you know, running around doing dumb things. And I was like, you know what? But I knew my sister growing up, she was the good kid. So we went through, did that. And so I have two daughters and I was like, okay, you know, we're good. We're good. You know, we're going to be, you know, no heart attacks. And then we had the boy. Uh-oh. And he's already showing it up that he's, you know, he's going to be the troublemaker in the family.
He's ready to go.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of troublemakers, Yellowstone season 4 is about to kick off in June. If you paid attention to the show enough, you've seen us talking with a lot of those folks from the cast. I will tell you, I can't release the exact date yet due to legal reasons. But anyway, December will be the next Carity Foundation Celebrity Cutting with the Yellowstone cast in Fort Worth. And we will be there, as always. But if you're a fan of Yellowstone and you're on the internet, like a lot of us are, everybody's on the internet doing stuff, there's a couple of guys that they're fans of Yellowstone. And they've got a podcast called The Dutton Report. And I don't know how I stumbled across this. Or they stumbled across me, I stumbled, I don't know. We've stumbled. and I found these guys. And so I've listened to a couple of the episodes. They watch Yellowstone, and then they get together and they kind of recap the show, try to answer a few questions, try to figure out what happened. Some things they get right, some things not so much, but It's entertaining. It's an entertaining podcast if you want to. So all day yesterday when I was driving across Oklahoma for, I don't know, 15 hours, whatever I was driving, I flipped on the Dutton Report and I was just going through and listening, you know, what was going on. And I thought, this is good stuff. I got to talk to these guys and see what happens. So that's what I did. And here's this guy, Barry, is with us. There he is from the Dutton Report on the internet. What's going on?
Oh, Pepper, life is good, man. How's life?
Oh, it's always busy. So tell me about this report, and how did you two guys, because I think one of you is on this side of the country, one's on this side of the country. How did you guys come together and put this in?
Yeah, great question. So I am located in Georgia, and my co-host, Will Swisher, he's also our producer. He does all the editing. He is located out in Los Angeles. We met at a former job here in Georgia and became good friends and stayed in touch. And he was down doing some consulting work for the job, said job, and he was finishing up grad school at the Savannah College of Art and Design online. And so he had to do this master's thesis capstone project, and he decided on a podcast. He had to not only prove that it was that he could pull one off and do it, but he had to make it good. He had to prove that he could build a listener base. He had to prove that people cared and all that. And we actually even sold a few small sponsorships to it, just to, again, Yellowstone. We watch it, you know, watched every episode. We were big fans and we're watching the show together anyway. And then once the class ended, we were like, dude, we got to keep doing this. And, here we are 2 years later. We're just about to finish up season 3 here soon so that we can, be ready to go week by week with season 4, which we've never been able to do before, just due to work schedules and stuff like that. So we're really excited.
And I listened to a lot of those. I've listened to the last one you did yesterday. As far as the background, you know, with you guys' background, do you have any background in farming, ranching, rodeo, or what kind of background do you come from as far as your point of view on watching the show?
Sure. No real background in rodeo, but I grew up on a big family farm out in, you know, mid Georgia, central Georgia. My grandpa was a farmer. His dad was a farmer. My parents ended up being school teachers, but the only neighbors I had for miles and miles were my three uncles and all my cousins. So I definitely grew up with a lifestyle that I see a lot of similarities. I wasn't a rancher. I never, you know, never got into that stuff personally. I went to several rodeos growing up, but I took the baseball route. I ended up playing a little college baseball and stuff. Will, actually, who unfortunately couldn't join us today, he's from Lexington, Kentucky, and so also grew up around a ton of land. You know, his uncle owns a ranch, ton of horses, things like that. So while we're not personally, we don't compete or do anything like that in rodeo, we have a little bit of background just in at least the country lifestyle, rural living, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Because I'm listening and y'all are asking questions. I'm trying to answer your questions, but I can't.
Yeah.
You know, because it's different time zone. But, you know, and a lot of that stuff, I mean, a lot of stuff y'all pick up on is some things I don't see. And there's other things that you pick up on that makes sense. And so it's just, it's neat to see a different perspective, you know, on the show, because, you know, from our background, watching the show and living the lifestyle, there's a lot of things on the show that happen that you have to leave a lot of room for TV magic, time editing, time stretch, like that. Cause that's what turned me off to it when it first came out. When Yellowstone first came out, the first 10 minutes, I was done. I was like, he didn't go catch this wild stallion, load him in a trailer, then back him out with a halter on. That don't happen. I turned it off. Didn't watch it again until, I guess, season 2 came out. It was getting ready to come out, and there was this big uproar about it. It's like, I got to see what's going on. So I put it on, watched the whole thing. I was like, okay. And then that's when I talked to Forey, because, you know, Forey is he's the real cowboy on the show. And, you know, I'd visited with him. And that's what he said. He said, you know, just there's a lot of stuff. It's Hollywood. A lot of stuff. Most people aren't going to recognize this stuff. Just let it go and just be glad that this lifestyle is the number one drama on TV. And so I was like, yeah, you know, you got a point. Some of that stuff you just overlook and just go with it. But the guy you were looking for, I was listening the other night. Y'all were asking about who was the guy that was in the bunkhouse that's done nothing but that. And that's Jake Rame. He's a horse trainer.
Yeah,
he's a horse trainer, and he trains horses. And he trains their horses out here in Weatherford, and that's who you got to look for. I was like, it's Jake. And then I thought you were going to Google it, but you Googled something else, and then I was like,
yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong here. Jake is also obviously authentic, like Forey. You know, he's the guy that lives that lifestyle.
But yeah.
Someone told me that Jake, or maybe I saw this somewhere, that Jake was originally considered to be Rip.
I've heard that before, but I don't think with with the acting in there and to really bring somebody there to do it, I think it worked better with Cole. But then you do have to have a stunt double. You do have to have somebody that has the look to do the real cowboy stuff. So who's who? And he's froze again.
Oh, sorry. We're back.
Yeah.
I caught a good bit of it. I couldn't agree with you more. Jake, love you, dude. He's like, I love the scenes he's in. Brings a lot of authenticity. But there's nobody on earth that could play Rip better than Cole Hauser.
No.
I mean, God, I'm the self-proclaimed leader of the Rip Wheeler fan club. Big Rip fan here.
And I'm waiting to see him get on these cutting horses, because he didn't come last year. He didn't come to the celebrity cutting they do every year in Fort Worth and the Carity Foundation puts on, which that Taylor and them are a big part of. He was down the other year. He didn't ride, and he didn't come last year. I want to see him go on a cutting horse and work. That's what I want to see. I want to see Rip do it. Jimmy did it. Jimmy did great. Mo does it. Gil doesn't ride. And then you had Jennifer Land in here last year. She did good. And Taylor's wife rode good. So, it's a good event. And it's coming back to Fort Worth in December. I can't tell you the day yet. I mean, I know the day, but I can't tell the day. It's coming back to Fort Worth. And the word on the street is going to be more Yellowstone influenced. So maybe bringing more cast members in to compete in this deal. So the folks that need to take a trip to Fort Worth in December need to be at that cutting. Hopefully, since this Corona stuff is kind of, flattening itself out or whatever, then maybe they'll have the big event and everything like they do, normal days.
Yeah, I certainly hope so, man. Me and Will were just talking about we need to get out there. We need to get out to number one, we want to get out to the Chief Joseph Ranch and just see it for ourselves, And then two, we need to get to that event. I think that'd be awesome.
It is good. I mean, it's action packed. It's a good time. It's fun. And that's where you get them all. I mean, you got a lot of them right there, and you get to see them actually doing stuff, because it's one thing to watch them on TV, and when you're watching them on the show, because like with four, you got a real cowboy that lives cowboy life, and he's playing a cowboy. Well, the rest of these guys are actors, and so when they come in, they're putting on a show. That's their job. They don't mean it, wrong or different, but when they show up to these things, they're in character. They're playing a character, and that's their deal. Some of them have fun with it. Some of them don't. I think Jimmy was one of the funnest ones we had. We talked to we had him down here. That guy's a character.
Yeah, we've talked to him a few times. He's one of the first people that likes and comments a lot of our stuff, and been very supportive, which you wouldn't necessarily guess since he's doing a similar thing for Paramount. They were doing the episode by episode breakdowns, and for a second we were like, oh man, no one's gonna listen to us now. But ultimately, we're not in it for fame or any of that. We're doing it because we love talking about Yellowstone. We want to expose more people to it. And, hopefully once we get caught up with season four and we're doing it episode by episode, show comes out on Sunday or Monday, whatever day of the week. I think it's Sundays usually. Cast is out by Wednesday, gives you something to kind of fill that Yellowstone hole until the following Sunday. That's how the show was always meant to go. We just haven't been able to catch up to it yet. Due to conflicting schedules and stuff like that. So another fun fact about the show, we just found out that we're at almost 7,000 unique downloads now and 18 countries. That's we even good. Got a couple listeners over in Russia and Australia and all over the place. I'm assuming people, maybe service members and stuff like that, who are fans of the show, but just really humbled. We didn't expect that. It started as a school project, but we're really grateful, man. We're just excited to keep doing it. And Will actually has not seen season three. You probably know that.
Yeah. From listening to your show, that he has not heard season three. Call him Bluebell. He's frozen. Like ice cream, right? He's froze. He's stuck. I guess.
Let it go.
Huh? I'll see if he pops back up. If he doesn't, I was just gonna tell him, which now he can't hear me. But I was listening to their show, and I was going to lead him with this little thought, because we're trying to figure out what's going to happen. My theory on this is it's all going to come down to they're going to sign the ranch over to Tate because he's part Indian and they can't take it.
That's interesting.
That's
interesting. My family is a huge, huge Yellowstone fan. I've only watched a couple of episodes, but like just listening to you guys talk about it has made me, now I'm starting to wonder. I'm like, wait, I need to get caught up on this because this is making me more interested.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth a watch, man. You need to get into it. It's so good.
All right, when you turned into Bluebell ice cream a while ago and you got frozen. So what I was saying is, I was listening to you guys talk, and here's my theory on this. Will it happen? I don't know. My thought is this. Tate's part Indian. Sign the ranch over to Tate. He's Indian.
I love it. So I can't discuss this with Will, and I'm actually not going to be able to let him listen to this now because we're talking about things that he's not aware of. I don't know if you caught the tail end of what I was saying earlier, but Will's never seen season 3. He's saving those episodes to record. So one more thing I get to have over him, he's not going to get it. But I think that's an awesome. I think the thing I heard that makes me think that makes the most sense is when Taylor Sheridan came out and said he has an ending in mind.
Yeah.
This is not a show he wants to run for 20 years.
Well, yeah, he's got two more shows coming up. He's fixing to do one on 4/6 and then the 1883. So he's got shows in mind. But yeah, I'm gonna let you get. We appreciate you coming on and talking to us, and we'll tell folks to check out the Dutton Report and see what you guys are up to, and we'll catch you on your next episode.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Check us out, theduttonreport.com, at theduttonreport on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever you're looking for. Pepper, thanks so much, man.
Thank you. All right, speaking of shows by Taylor Sheridan, there is a movie coming out. I don't know what to do with a piece of paper, but there's a movie coming out. Oh, here it is, that Taylor is part of. I think it's based on a book. And Warner Brothers is releasing this. It's called Those Who Wish Me Dead. It's going to come out on May 14th in theaters and HBO Max. It's got Angelina Jolie. Everybody's wondering where she's been. She's back. She got somebody babysitting her kids so she can go do a movie. I don't know. She got like 50 kids.
Something like that.
But anyway, Taylor Sheridan co-wrote the adaptation of Michael Corda's book with Corda and Charles Levitt. So check this out and see if you want to watch it.
Why'd they put you in a fire tower?
Well, I'm just lucky, I guess.
I read the wind wrong. I should have gone to them.
Then you'd be dead too.
That's our job.
Hey, stop! I'm not gonna hurt you.
I want to see where the blood's coming from.
It's not my blood.
You in trouble? Anyone else in trouble?
My dad said if anything happened, I should find someone I could trust. Are you someone I can trust?
We promise absolutes. Act accordingly.
Those men that came for your father, did you see their faces? That's them. Cut you down.
Something else to worry about.
You can run
Listen. Run on for a long time. You're gonna run. Run on for a long time. And you're gonna keep running. Sooner or later, gonna cut you down. That eats everything in its path. Down.
You really wanna die for this kid?
Take a deep breath. Hold it. And lay back. What happens next? You look it right in the eye. Tell them God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna
cut you down. Go watch it. That looks good. Go check that out. I went and watched a movie last weekend, and I went and watched Nobody, and that's pretty good. It's got the Saul Goodman from Better Call Saul, and that's a good movie. I really liked it. I won't spoil it for you, but it's pretty good. Go watch it. But speaking of action-packed stuff is going down, and Colt's got some rodeo news for you.
Yes, we got the WCRA, the World Champion Rodeo Alliance, in partnership with the Days of 47 Cowboy Games and Rodeo, excited to announce the format and payout for the 2021 event. The Days of 47 will play host to the second stop of the WCRA's Triple Crown. During the 2021 series, they'll have a payout of over $500,000. Each champion will walk away with a minimum of $25,000 and that coveted Days of 47 gold medal. Days of 47 Cowboy Games and Rodeo is presented by Zion's Bank, and it takes place July 20th through the 24th at 7:30 p.m. It'll be at the state-of-the-art Days of 47 Arena at the Utah State Fair Park in Salt Lake City. A total event payout, like I said, will be over $500,000 per payout as follows. Semifinals will be $144,000, $36,000 per performance, and then the gold medal round be $418,500, $46,500 per discipline. Nominations for the Days of 47 Leaderboard Segment 8 will remain open until June 27th at 11:59 p.m. Central Time. The top 24 timed event athletes and top 24 rough stock athletes on the leaderboard at that time will qualify for the event, with the number one athlete on the leaderboard in each discipline being automatically seeded to the gold medal round on July 24th. Number one athlete will also be given the opportunity to compete in the preliminary rounds if they choose. The remaining eight athletes in each discipline will be qualified via the Days of 47 committee parameters to include the top three medalists in each discipline from the 2019 event, along with top five athletes in the 2021 PRCA, WPRA, and PBR world standings, respectively, as of June 28th. A total of 32 athletes in each of the nine disciplines will compete in the semifinal performances, with the fastest time or highest score in each discipline of each performance advancing to that gold medal round. The three fastest times or highest scores from all the semifinal performances combined, not already advancing, will also advance to that gold medal round. Seven qualifiers from the semifinal rounds, along with the WCRA leaderboard number one, will create for a total of eight athletes competing in each discipline for that gold medal round. Make sure you check it out. It'll be on Saturday, July 31st at 1 p.m. Eastern on CBS Television Network. It will broadcast the Days of 47 Cowboy Games and Rodeo.
Sounds like an action-packed event.
That sounds like there's going to be a lot of tough cowboys and cowgirls at that event. That is for sure.
Oh, the money's good, though. The money's up there.
I mean, $500,000, I ain't going to complain.
No. No. Speaking of rodeo, PBR, Professional Bull Riders, they just knocked out another one. We got Joao Ricardo Vieira. He did a walk-off 90-point ride, moved to number two in the world. Check out this ride.
Joao is showing that he's up to the challenge. For the win! Joao is the man in Oklahoma. He will leave the Sooner State with the biggest smile of them all. There's your walk-off win, and it's worth 91 points.
And Joao just left no doubt who the best bull rider was from start to finish all weekend long. Outstanding weekend for Joao.
9 consecutive qualified rides. Let's show you our Kubota tractor ride of the night. It's the one that won it.
And it's just more of the same for Joao. A really good bull going to the left. Look, this is what has won this guy so much in his career. It's being great on bulls that go that direction.
Joao is always able to sprinkle in some 90s throughout the season. He had 6 last year. He's already had 3 this season, but it's gonna be about the points as he earns almost 140 and really sends a message.
He sent it. That message was sent.
It was sent. That is for sure.
Man, they had an event in Bryan. You know, we covered the event in Bryan College Station. I think it's, I say Bryan College Station because I'm up here now. People are like, why are you saying that? Because when you're down there, it's Bryan or College Station.
Or College Station, yeah. Yep.
And the whole time I was down there, and people in Dallas, wherever, said, hey, you're in Bryan College Station. No. There's Bryan and there's College Station. I'd be like, you're up there. It's not Dallas-Fort Worth. There's Dallas and there's Fort Worth. But now I'm up here, I'm like Bryan College Station.
Oh, yeah. My mom was actually born down there. My family all went to A&M. And so that is one thing. You say, where are you going? And they want to know. If you say, hey, I'm going to go down to Bryan College Station, they say, well, where?
Yeah. And another thing people don't know about that are from down there. When people say, where do you go to school at? Oh, College Station. Yeah, they're not going to A&M. They're going to Blinn.
Exactly. you try to sneak that one under the rug, but if nobody else knows,
yeah,
they don't know any better.
Yeah, it's like you're at Blinn. That's like going to Eastfield to Mesquite and saying you go to UT Dallas. Let's talk about books. There's an author that's out there by the name of Pete Turner, and he puts out some page turners, and he wrote a book called Chet Henderson, Texas Ranger. And he's got a few other books out there, but we thought we'd talk to him a little bit about the books and his books and see what is going on in his neck of the woods.
Hi, Pepper.
What is going on? Good, good. What's going on? What are you up to tonight?
Well, I'm talking to you right now, but greetings from Rattlesnake Ridge, Maryland.
Ooh, I don't like rattlesnakes.
Well, that was the original name of this area way back when this was the Wild West, so, like about 1740, 1750. Rattlesnake Ridge, on a plaque right outside the house. I'm well. I'm hoping you're well, and thank you for inviting me on your show.
Yeah. You, I guess you kind of grew up, you know, in a rural lifestyle. You know, horses, yeah. Cows, stuff like that. So what brought you into writing books and decided, you know what, I think I could write a book and head that direction?
Well, you know, I always wanted to try to write a book. And actually, the first book I wrote, I retired and started playing around with some ideas. You know, you write about what you know. So the first book I wrote was actually, part of it was my experience in Vietnam called Da Nang Damned. It's now been turned into a modern Western, so figure that one out. But that started me. And then I used to be a history teacher, one of my lives way back when. And I'm fascinated by the West. I grew up in the golden age of the West, you know, John Wayne and, you know, all those guys Bonanza and all the shows on TV and everything. So, and my dad was a big John Wayne fan. He read, I think, every Lewis L'Amour book there was. He would go to the library, pick out a Lewis L'Amour book, and he couldn't remember whether he read it before or not. So he would put a little T in a pencil mark way up on the corner in the back page so he could look at it and say, oh, okay, I read that before. So I like to think there's still some of my dad's books with his brand on them. But anyways, yeah, I've always been fascinated by the history of the West. There's so many stories, so many, you know, tales yet to be told. So I'm trying to tell a few.
So tell us about Chet. Tell us about Chet Henderson.
Well, Chet is an interesting character. I also write about old people because I'm old, so that's something else I know. But I wanted to try and get away from a lot of the, not to be critical of any of the other great writers out there, but a lot of them concentrate on the 1850s, the 1820s. I've done a couple of Mountain Man series now that are doing well, but I thought it'd be really interesting if I could create this character and put him in the 1890s in Texas. A lot of things were happening then, getting more civilized. And the book starts out where he's reading an old newspaper a couple of weeks old on his horse, and it says, you know, that the United States Census Bureau declared that the frontier is closed. And they did. In 1890, after the 1890 census, they decided, well, that's it. The frontier is closed. So Chet's sitting on his horse, and he says, well, I guess that's it. The bad guys are going to take out the plow. The Indians are going to go back to the reservation. You know, there's no more outlaws. And bang, he gets shot in the head. So that's how the book kind of starts off that way. So he's kind of caught. He's an older man. He's the oldest Texas Ranger still in the saddle. And you're from Texas, so you know the whole story of the Texas Rangers. They would be well-funded for a while, and then the bad guys or the Indians would be put down, and then the government would stop funding them, and they get cut back, and then they'd be brought back again. So they want to bring him back in this job, and he doesn't want a desk job. He rides, you know, he does want to put his horse on the train, he rides.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the idea is an older man caught between the changing of times, trying to, do the best he can and fight the bad guys. And he has a bunch of them to fight. So, but that's kind of where I wanted to go with, you know, what I try to ask myself a question usually before I write a book. And it's like, what if a guy was like Chet, older and set in his ways, and times are changing, and he really started having a hard time? So that was the beginnings of the series. Yeah.
Okay. And how much, you know, you said you watched a lot of the older westerns. How much influence did some of those older shows, you know, give you as far as writing that character?
Well, they were always, most of the TV shows in the 50s were, you know, the guy in the black, white horse and the white hat, and he was a good guy, and the bad guys were the black guy. You know why they wear white hats and black hats? Do you know the reason for that?
Why's that?
Well, you got a white hat on, so I got to put my black hat on. when they started making movies, black and white, they wanted to distinguish between the two characters. So that was really the whole genesis. I try to make, you know, all those heroes were always, you know, flawless almost. And there's not too many of those stories from the 50s and 60s, the movies or the TV shows, where the guy had some flaws and some faults and was dealing with his own internal demons a little bit. And I wanted to make it a little more realistic. You know, I try to write books that I find interesting, that I would like to write. You know, I do not, they're not overly violent, you know, for the sake of being violent. They're not, try to keep the bad words down to hell and damnation kind of thing. But, you know, that's about it. I don't want to be embarrassed to my grandkids about freedom.
Yeah.
So, that's where I'm coming from. But yeah, a lot of influence from those guys, Stuart Granger and, you know, just John Wayne and, you know, all those other guys that did their bit. Audie Murphy is a good example. I like a lot of his shows.
Okay.
So, and that's where I come from.
Okay. All right. Well, if folks out there want to check out your books or check you out, where's the best place to send them?
Amazon. I'm published by Dusty Saddles. And Amazon, you know, for better or for worse, is the giant gorilla, and you got to play by their rules. So they're available in paperback and Kindle on Amazon. You just search for Peter Allen, because I there's another author named Peter Turner, so Peter Allen Turner or Chet Henderson, and I pop up. There I am, right there.
Yep.
So yeah.
All right. Peter Allen Turner, man, we appreciate you visiting with us and telling us about your books and a little bit about yourself, man, and we'll let the folks know and check out your books.
Okay, Pepper, thank you an awful lot. Enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Check that out. That's some good stuff.
Awesome stuff. I love, you know, as a kid, you always running around, you know, with your little plastic six shooter, act like, you know, you're Wyatt Earp or, you know, one of those, get Billy the Kid. So that's, you know, stuff like that is really, really cool to me. I, you know, the Old West and history is definitely near and dear to my heart.
I did have the Long Ranger costume as a kid.
Can you still fit into it?
No. No. Oh, fun fact, though. I did not know this until after Louis L'Amour died,
mm-hmm.
that wrote Lonesome Dove. Did you know that he also wrote the screenplay for Brokeback Mountain?
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. So that got me. So that got the wheels turning about Lonesome Dove.
I don't want to think like
so that. So I'm like, wait a minute.
I don't want to think like that. Did, if you ruin Lonesome Dove for me, my grandfather will have your head.
I was like, wait a minute. But yeah, I did not know that.
That's actually really, really crazy. And I mean, the popularity of both of them,
yeah.
whether no matter what you think about them, yeah. the popularity of them, I mean, and all that stuff is, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. I did not know that till after he died. And I was reading up on it and I was like, really?
Wow.
I'd have never put those two together.
I would have never guessed that. Not in a million years.
I was like, wow. Oh, man, let's go to some odd news. Everybody likes the odd stuff. Let's do some odd stuff. What do you got? What do you got over there?
I thought one, if we want to talk about a little farm and ranching, how about the British police? They decided that they needed to catch themselves a llama.
A llama.
The police in Britain said officers ended up with an unusual chase when an escaped llama went wandering through a neighborhood. Salisbury police said the community support officer Matt Smith and Constable Mark Douglas were patrolling. The officers responded to the scene and pursued the animal, despite being initially misidentified as an alpaca. Because that makes a difference in this story. And following a brief pursuit, we're pleased to report the llama was safely returned to his owner.
Well, that's a happy ending. It's about a happy ending as you can get with a llama, I think.
Yeah, I just don't know. I didn't know there were llamas in England.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff over there. they have llamas. And what else? The only thing that caught me off guard, it wasn't in England, that was when we were in Ireland. Is you ever see people share those pictures of bulls? They're like real muscled up.
Oh,
like
yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's real. I seen those and I was like, that's because I always thought it was like Photoshopped. And I was like, holy cow.
I watched the thing and I was going around, you know, go down the YouTube wormhole that you find. And there was one that's like the top 10 biggest bulls in the world.
Yeah.
And these things look like the Arnold Schwarzenegger of bulls walking around. And, you know, they get out of the trailer and the whole trailer rocks. I mean, I was blown away.
I was like, I'm not roping that. Let's go to snakes. Snakes.
Oh.
A grocery store chain in Australia, which is Australia, so I feel a little bit better about that. But they found a venomous snake inside a bag of plastic lettuce, prepackaged lettuce. So a plastic bag of lettuce, getting ready to go, I guess, make a salad. And you get a snake salad. So it was at an Aldi. I think we have those here.
Yes, we do.
So they're investigating to find out how that happened. They got the snake, and then they have taken the snake, identified it, and has decided to retransplant it to its natural habitat. But it was a small snake, almost like a baby.
So it's like, okay, so that's not as bad as I was thinking. Like, I'm thinking, you know, the old joke with the Pringles can where you open it up, the snake. That was my first thought when I saw that story, was this snake is coming out trying to attack people out of, you know, that's what you get for trying to make a salad and not just cooking a steak like a normal person.
But they've got other snakes.
That's why I don't want to go to Australia.
What if you go to Indonesia?
Oh, yeah.
Is that Indonesia right there?
Let's see. Oh, yes, yes. So a woman in Indonesia was swallowed by a python.
Whoa. I guess it's a good thing it wasn't anaconda. Because anaconda don't want none of it. She got bones.
I'm going to move on with the story. So a woman in Indonesia was swallowed whole by a python as she checked on her cornfields. She left her home Thursday night to visit her cornfield about half a mile from her home. Pythons, of course, are common in that area. But it was actually wild boars that, you know, she was originally worried about because they had been destroying her other crops. When Wa did not return, her sister went out to find her and found her footprints, flashlight, slippers, and a machete. 100 villagers searched the area and found a 23-foot-long, very swollen belly snake. The villagers killed the snake and cut it open and found Wa inside and intact.
I seen the video. I spared you guys the video of this, but I seen the video of this. And you got to think about that. Could you imagine being swallowed by a snake? And then if you didn't get choked out before, you're going down. I mean, that's got to be the worst feeling ever.
I couldn't even imagine that. That's absolutely terrible. I think I'll take the wild ball. I think I'll take the wild hogs.
I'm wondering too, what happened with the machete? Did it have some hacks in it? Did you not hack that sucker?
Well, it doesn't say how old she may have been. So we don't know the physical condition or how well she could have defended herself.
Could be. But I wonder if that's a world record.
That's right. The other world record, we were talking about that just a few minutes ago. Idaho man stacks 34 bars of wet soap for a Guinness World Record. Not dry soap. That must be a different record. But Idaho man said he had to grow out his fingernails to recapture the Guinness World Record for stacking wet bars of soap. David Rush, who has more than 150 Guinness World Records to his name, said he had to grow out his fingernails so he could get a secure enough grip to take on the record for the most bars of wet soap stacked in 1 minute. He previously set the record at 30 in 1 minute. It was taken later by someone who hit it at 32. Record-breaking enthusiast managed to recapture his title with 34 bars of wet soap stacked.
Okay, so I'm wondering is, where do you learn the art of stacking wet soap? Is this something you learned in jail?
Definitely not in the showers.
Didn't want to drop it? Do not drop that soap. I'm stacking them. The wet soap. So
I don't know. That's definitely not on my talent list. So I honestly couldn't even guess.
I want to see video of this. I want to see what kind of, he had cat claws and he's just, you know, I got a minute to stack these soaps.
Well, if that's the case, I bet Edward Scissorhands would have been fantastic at it.
I bet he would have beat that.
I think
And that's the thing. You know, I like doing these stories on the world records because I like to think, what mindset? Was he sitting there on 420 and he thought of that? I mean, where in your mind are you thinking, you know what? I bet I could stack more soap than anybody.
Well, I think I know what happened is he's one of those guys. You remember you'd go and buy, I remember when I was in high school, we had the big shiny books that said, you know, Guinness World Records on it. And you'd start flipping through the pages. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's somebody that they're never going to be the fastest man or, you know, they're never going to be the, you know, the strongest woman. But I can figure out how to stack some soap.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably where these are coming from.
That's back for you kids today. That's back before the internet when you actually had to go to the library and get a book. But there, speaking of school, a security camera in Wisconsin at the high school captured the moment lightning struck and destroyed a tree right outside the building. The principal of the high school said the students were just sitting down to take the ACT test when it struck. I wonder if they got to leave. It's like, oh, can't do the test today. Got to go. Initially, students were scared, didn't know what happened. Then once they realized what happened, they was like, wait a minute, that's a historic thing for us to see. And check it out. I'm sure the science lab ran out to take samples.
Oh, I'm sure. Or at least to go check it out. I mean, that's, you know, I almost got struck by lightning actually out on a baseball field. You could feel it in your feet, the electricity. And that is not a fun place to be. But definitely that mean nothing else. The science class could go out there and that'd be something cool that, you know, you wouldn't get to see every day.
Yep. We got one right up your alley right here. Tell me about fishing.
About fishing. Oh, yes. See, I was going more of the explosion route is where I was thinking. So we got a magnet fisherman found a World War II area artillery shell in the Michigan River. A group of magnet fishermen pulling up metal from a Michigan river made a surprising discovery, a World War II artillery shell. Ryan McCollum said he was magnet fishing in Grand Rapids with his son and his cousin, Chris Hample, when Hample pulled up a 2-foot-long metal object out of the Grand River. As he got closer, realized it was an artillery shell, and that was very surprising for what you normally pull out of that river. Fishermen alerted the authorities, and police cleared the 6th Street Bridge where the man had been casting their lines while the captain of the bomb squad examined the find. It was a 75-millimeter armor-piercing artillery shell. It was used in Sherman tanks in World War II. Bomb squad was unsure how the shell ended up in the river. The captain hypothesized that the object may have been brought home as a souvenir of the war, and then someone ended up disposing of it in the river.
Somebody got scared. I don't know what should I do with this? I don't know. Let's go throw it in the river.
I mean, I think of all things, I know this would be me when I was dumb and I was in the military doing dumb things. Never tried this, though, but you bring it home from war. You know, back then you had the spoils of war. Guys would bring home everything. I mean, who knows what they had. I want to bet that they tried to set it off to see what would happen. And somehow it ended up in that river. They were throwing it off the bridge or trying to do something crazy, and I guarantee you that's how it was, and then they could never find it again.
Like, it's gone.
Yep.
We lost it. Oh man, one more movie we're going to tell you about, and then we're going to get out of town. There's another movie coming out you need to know about called The Wrath of Man. It's going to release next month as well. So take a gander at this and see if it is something you want to see. And while you feast your eyes on this, we're going to go.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a new edition. H.
Portico Security specialize in cash trucks across LA.
Do you have any idea how dangerous this job can be?
Some idea, yeah.
We ain't the predators. We're the prey.
You ready?
Ready.
This is your temporary sidearm.
What happens if we're pulling pistols in a machine gun fight?
Do you have a problem?
I don't know. Do I?
It's a 10 grand drop. You should have been back 5 minutes ago.
They're serious.
Leave this to me.
Get in the truck next time.
Sorry, pal.
Doesn't feel right. It's like he wants trucks to get hit. He's not a cop.
But if he's not a cop, what is he?
A while back, we lost two guards, a civilian too.
There was an investigation.
And they still haven't found the scum who did it.
You were in an accident.
My son.
He didn't make it.
I need to know who killed my son.
Tree has been shook, and it's been shook hard. We've scorched earth. Always be
a good boy. You started by saying you'd do anything. But what I'm hearing is, you think you've done everything. Don't ever play with
guns. I can see it's going to be a long night.
It's got to be an inside job. Do in 2 weeks. You only wish you could do in 20 years. And I do bear a grudge.